Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Real spoilers powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 256.
That was eye contact.
I'm making eye contact with Joe, not to be sexy, but to prove that I have committed that opening to memory.
Oh, both.
Finally.
Why not kill two birds with one stone?
Well, it doesn't have to be either or.
Yeah. It's 2017.
Yeah. This is not the 50 Shades Darker.
Yeah, believe it or not.
Yes.
Yeah, I dodged that bullet.
I know that talk got you excited out there, audience, but
but no. No.
This is a better one.
Well, okay. Maybe a better movie.
Yes.
But
right.
Come on.
No, the next one's going to be fantastic. The next podcast is going to be great.
You should probably just skip this one.
Wait, no. Don't skip this one.
Just download it. As long as it's downloaded,
that's true.
Yeah,
same thing.
It's not like there's a ratings bureau going around giving people quizzes to see if you actually listen.
We've got it's podcast score instead of cinema score.
What was the movie Tom referenced in his outro line?
Crap.
Like, that's the final spoiler of the episode.
That's too easy because I skipped to the end.
We need something in the middle.
What was the 27th bleep that Joe said?
And they were just like,
well, that's too early.
Yeah.
That's only like the first 3 minutes.
He's going to have one within the first, 2 minutes.
Yeah. So before we go too far, we should go around the table and introduce ourselves. We'll start to prevent confusion with our guest.
Hi, I'm Steve Kelly.
This is Joe Battisi.
Kevin Braggett.
And this is Tom. Some shameless plugs. Don't forget that we're available on iTunes. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe. Joe, what would you say if I told you that we
am I 0 for 2?
I think you're 0 for all.
I'm 0 for all of them.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say we don't.
And you're wrong.
Really?
Yeah.
The streak continues. I would like to be wrong.
Yes.
Like, in that case, I will be wrong.
We have one. The headline is "They Got Me."
All right.
And it's from Omega Mobius.
Oh,
good name.
I like it.
And he says, they totally called me out for not reviewing before. Sorry, fellas, you're great. We'll aim to review more now.
Who do we call out?
I don't know. I don't remember who we called out.
It could be one of our older,
well, you know,
old,
what? I
like
mean,
original listeners.
I think that was the time that we said, you know who you are.
Yeah.
Write a review.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, that could be.
We bluffed him.
He was just like, all right, okay, I'll do
or
it.
Or did we?
Oh, I mean, yeah. Or did we? That's the kind of stuff my ex-wife used to do.
It's like,
is there something you need to tell me? And then you're like, Jesus, I don't know. I don't know.
You start running through like the last.
Yeah,
you start running through the last
and
week.
And then she's like, well, you look guilty. Well, yeah, now.
Yeah. You've already planted the thought in my head.
Yeah. Did I mention she was crazy?
I think that's come up before.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now,
briefly.
And just to be fair, I only put it in past tense because she's no longer my wife. She is still. just.
What about the drug addict part?
Well, they say once you're an addict, you're always
That's
an addict.
That's true.
But last check, she was still clean. So good for her.
Last court ordered. Never mind.
Yeah. So good for her. Seriously. So, no, I mean, I'm glad
no,
that
no,
she's...
No, I know, I know.
It's just like, after school
it's
special.
Also, it's also like the most... It could be facetious.
Yeah, sure, could be.
Could be.
Yeah.
Could be. Quotation marks.
No, I'm glad that she's not. I am.
I know, I'm here.
But,
yeah.
But beyond that, I don't care. Yeah. I just like to make jokes about it.
It's fantastic. It makes for great radio.
It does.
Yeah.
If this was ever on the radio.
Exactly.
Hello.
Hello, Raul Julia.
Raul Julia welcome apparently has been sleeping with my ex-wife.
Who hasn't?
Yeah, touche.
See, I was that's not my joke to make. Like, I can't make that joke.
Why? Because I'll be upset?
Yeah. Well, it's your joke. Like, it's yours. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah. Like, I won't make
I mean, the door was wide open.
Make, like, I won't make a cops like donuts joke.
I mean, well, now that it's out there.
Right.
Yes. Exactly like that.
So,
they are good, though.
Cops or donuts?
Yes.
Okay. He enjoys both in his mouth.
No. God dang it.
Yikes.
So, while we're on the subject of shameless plugs, don't forget you also can go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/realspoilers, and you can join the League of Show Sharers. People who were kind enough to join the League of Show Sharers this week: Librarian Cynthia, Travis T. Witt, Griffin Fox Smith, Alex Perozo, Chris Sanders, Jason, who called me out for pronouncing his name wrong last week.
Yeah.
So I went to his Facebook page so I could read the pronunciation. He was kind enough to plug in it. So hopefully he plugged it in right, or he will
get you again.
Make fun of me again. But he plugged it in as it says Wheezy.
Oh.
So was he Weiss? Married to George Jefferson?
Yeah. No, he's their illegitimate son.
Is that how that works?
Yes. Oh. Yeah.
So he was not heir to the dry cleaning
empire.
He was
not heir to the dry
cleaning
empire.
It all went to Lionel.
That's right. Hmm. Poor Wheezy.
Does anyone get any of these references?
I watch that show.
Like, in here?
I watch that show.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Jason Wheezy. So,
all right.
I apologize.
Sorry, Jason.
And I've met him multiple times at movie screens.
Oh, really?
But I'm like,
that's
I'm,
even better.
One, I'm bad with names.
Is this
then,
the drive?
I'm just going to call him the driver.
Is it the drive guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, Nick Scott, Brent Smith, Tammy Sherman Powers, Julianne Jordan, Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming, and Lane Levanway. So,
wait,
thank you, everyone, for sharing
did
the show.
Did Brent share it or Brenton?
Well, he's Brenton. But we're tight, so I call him.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to clarify. I didn't.
Like, you were afraid he lost
his
monocle.
Title. Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. That's how that works.
Like, when you lose a contact, he's like,
my monocle? Nope. Nope. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh,
all right.
No.
Son of a Brent.
Always happens with my monocle. He also has, thanks to the monocle, he has a side business making appearances as Mr. Peanut.
Yeah. It's the only character.
No. Well, no.
Mr. Moneybags.
Mr. Moneybags.
Oh, Mr. Moneybags.
Monopoly.
Does he have a monocle?
Does he have a monocle?
He does not.
He does not.
He does not really. No. He seems so fan like.
You would think he has a monocle.
Well, let's be clear. He obviously owns a fine collection of monocles, whether or not he wears them in the Monopoly game.
It's just, it's a reading monocle.
Right.
Yeah.
It's only for reading.
He's like the guy. What was it?
Why were monocles ever a thing?
I just think that was, I don't know.
That just seems like the most. Can you imagine how
like, you have to like squint it?
Well, there are people with only one eye and they just needed one.
There it is.
One lens.
Well, then I think it'd still be more of a pain in the ass to like have to squint
yeah,
to hold that thing
the glasses
in.
On.
It'd block out the one glass.
It's probably twice as expensive and to get glasses than a monocle.
You have to squint with the eye you want yeah. to see with.
I mean, I'm Asian, so that comes naturally to me.
Zing. And I'm not just saying that because it's your last name. No, you started it.
Wow, that was fantastic.
All right, see you, Steve.
And that was his last appearances. If you listen carefully, you can hear the door slamming. Him breaking our flat screens as he walks out of the house.
Can you leave behind the box of chicken lo mein, though?
Wow.
Jesus. Steven, he's not laughing at that one.
Yeah. He's done. He's like, this isn't funny anymore.
Yeah. Too far, Kevin. Yeah. Too far.
Steve, put that gun away.
You need to begawk yourself.
But anyway, monocles were really
dumb. Yeah, they were a thing.
Are there designer monocles?
I don't know. It's just a round piece of glass. Right, maybe you could make, maybe the string could be fancier.
Yeah, you're yeah, like a chain.
Like there's designer frames. And so, yeah, like maybe a diamond, just diamonds linked together.
No, I think it would be all about the string. Like a tampon.
No,
is that the thing? Like
probably.
I was thinking the string was just diamonds linked together.
Oh, a string of diamonds.
Yeah.
Well, that seems like that would chafe as they pulled it out.
Ow, 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 ow.
Oh, you meant the monocle.
I shouldn't have asked for the stone cut. I should have just rounded those out. Yeah, I made a mistake.
Maybe we should save this for the next episode.
The monocle makes a lot more sense now that I think it through.
Yeah. What was I thinking?
Yeah, that's silly me.
You're thinking like Scrooge McDuck shaped size diamonds, like that you hold in your fist.
I mean, if whatever, I
Wait,
guess
Scrooge McDuck was fisting. What are we talking about?
Well, you know, he went after Daisy and it was a big thing. That's why
I'm thinking that
he's related to Daisy.
No, he's not. He's related to Donald.
I thought isn't
Donald through marriage? Oh,
okay.
By marriage.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Come on, Disney man.
But this is one for Dustin at Nerds.
Well, now I feel like Kevin. I just thought all ducks were related.
I was going to say for Dustin at Nerds at Night, he'll get this one on that old DuckTales game on NES. Scrooge bounced around on his cane and you picked up big diamonds like the size of a cartoon diamond, you know? The
shape, I never played DuckTales.
With the pointy bottom, you know?
I was too busy playing Friday the 13th.
Oh, that was a doozy.
Ooh, that was a bad game.
Yeah, DuckTales was awesome and they remastered it recently.
Oh, really?
In HD on all the new consoles. It's really good.
Not really.
He showed you.
Yeah.
Wow.
So here's the deal. We're doing two episodes this week like we always do, but none of them will be the box office report because there was a wealth of fine films.
Well,
theoretically.
A wealth of films?
Of high-profile releases.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Would you like a quick release schedule for the box office?
Whoa.
That's for the next episode.
Think about baseball.
Be Arthur naked on a cold day.
Yes. So
I can give you 1-2-3 punch.
I still think that might sound dirty.
It could.
Yeah.
Not from Kevin, though.
What, like just a quick box office rundown? Just real quick so we can get into the movie.
Just the 1-2-3 punch.
We got to finish this so we can roll into the next one.
Absolutely. Three new movies. Number 1, 2, and 3. Lego Batman, $58 million. 50 Shades Darker, $45 million. John Wick, Chapter 2, $27 million. And Split, number 4. 9.2 million.
I'm sorry, you said a 1-2-3
punch. 1-2-3
punch?
Yeah.
That's a bonus.
We got to cut that out.
Bonus 4.
Nobody wants a bonus punch. Those are the worst.
If you're a masochist.
Who the hell would want a bonus punch?
John Wick.
Glad for punching.
So, but 50 Shades, the last one made like $85 million opening week.
85, so half of the first
film. So will they divergent it?
I don't know.
Maybe they should just make romance novels out of it.
Maybe they should just license it to an actual porn distributor so
it
could be done right.
I can't believe this doesn't exist. Yeah. It's not a parody.
Yeah. It's literally 50 Shades porn.
No, I can't believe that doesn't exist. I mean, it has to exist, right?
I'm sure there's some sort of parody, but I mean, for real, just...
How do you parody like a pseudo-porn movie?
Well, my God. It's already technically a parody of something else.
Well, it's a fan fiction.
It was
a parody.
Fan fiction.
Right,
I'm saying, like, how do you parody a movie when you're like, Mr. Gray, I'm 50 Shades of
Begawk'd
up? Like, that's a real line. How do you parody that?
You better begawk yourself.
Well, of course I will.
Okay, I'm just
before you.
Bill, that was a real
wreck yourself.
I mean, that was a real line. I had to say it. But I'm just like, how do you parody that type of? Would it get better?
You didn't have to say it.
Would it get better?
It's not like we'd get fined if you didn't say it.
Yeah.
No one would come in and confiscate our podcast mics.
They're not going to shut down Real Spoilers because you said it.
But honestly, would the parody be better written than the actual film?
I mean, couldn't be
the
worse.
Only thing that, like, Vivid, have you ever seen what they do?
Oh, I saw the Ninja Turtle one.
That's not Vivid, though.
Oh,
like,
it's not,
Vivid
okay.
will actually use...
You have an odd fetish.
Yeah.
Oh, it was all over the internet. You didn't see the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
No.
It was the old live-action ones from the original movie?
No, it wasn't.
Yes.
They have the original costumes?
I can't say it's the original costumes, but it was that kind of real, like, I don't even know that.
Those weren't
practical
real,
effects.
Just so you know.
No, but not CG. Oh, they were those, like, practical effects, and those turtles in April.
Steve gets it.
Yeah.
No, like, they actually use, like... In their superhero
and April or in April?
Yes,
both.
Oof. Yes,
and Casey Jones.
Oh man! But they actually use like the real costumes. Like,
can
if you
imagine
look
where
at,
that hockey stick,
I
goes.
Don't want to. No, hockey stick, the baseball bats, the all of it.
Well, yeah. The katanas are what you really have to look out for.
But yeah, like they use like the real costumes. I don't know how they get away with it.
What?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Like they use if not the real, but like they like
the same colors,
the costume designs.
Protected. It's parody, so it's protected.
I guess,
speech,
man.
That's I've looked that up before. There's no such thing. Like, you can sue anyone for anything, and
I mean,
the court can't be like, that's parody. Like, they'd have to decide, you know what I mean? But it's not like automatically covered. It's
I think they changed, like, oh, the webbing on Spider-Man is just like, oh, it's
oh, that webbing was
it's webbing,
changed
right.
quite
it was,
often.
It was webbing,
yeah,
organic webbing.
Yes,
yeah. So, every scene it was a little different on the costume.
Well, just, on somebody else's costume,
yeah, just a little bit less each scene.
Oh, she's Spider-Woman now.
Yeah. Oh, gross.
So, enough of this.
Yeah, that's
so
the next episode.
The movie for this week, for this episode, is John Wick 2. So, Joe, have at it.
So, one of the things I think that has been missing in action sequels, So to me, like, when you're making a sequel to an action movie, you have to, and the first one is good, right? So Lethal Weapon, Die Hard, all that stuff, fantastic. Mm-hmm. I think Die Hard 2, that was a bad example. Die Hard 2 is not very good. But Lethal Weapon 2, I think, is a better movie. Die Hard 2 is not a good movie.
It's not bad.
But it's not a horrible
movie.
Oh,
no, it's not Die Hard 5.
To the rest of them.
It's weaker, but it's not like a failure.
Three's,
you know?
Three's better than 2.
Yeah. But I'm saying it's not a terrible film. It's a weaker entry.
Oh, sure.
But
it's
not
still
like
a great Christmas movie.
Yeah. It's not like 2 came out and was just like a total...
Yeah.
The problem with 2 is that it was just such a retread of the original.
Where, like, Lethal Weapon 2 continues their story.
Right.
And does some... You know, this is where you get, like... The sequel always kind of has that extra little reveal. Like, in spoilers, Riggs' wife was murdered on purpose. Like, it wasn't an accident. So, where John Wick, I think, succeeds is it picks up almost immediately where we leave off in the first one. The first one ends, I think, with him in that animal shelter where he's stitching himself up and he looks at the pit bull.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's pretty much exactly where we pick up.
You know, I didn't like the fact that he adopted a pit bull.
Why?
Because pit bulls are tough looking dogs. And part of the charm of the first one is that he didn't have a tough looking dog.
A girl beagle puppy.
Yeah, he had like a really cutesy dog.
Yeah.
And so
that pit bull puppy was pretty adorable.
But I don't think pit bulls are cute.
Oh,
but
I do.
I'm not like an anti pit bull guy,
God, we're gonna have the pit bull people all
I just don't think they're cute.
It was a puppy, it was small.
It was a puppy in the first one. It's not a puppy
but,
in the
well,
first
no,
one.
It's not a full grown
couple years.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just saying it was puppies can be puppies till 2 years old. That's a puppy.
Yeah, okay.
But my point is I like the fact that this big, tough hitman guy who kills all these people had this really, like, cute, untough dog.
Yeah.
And I was really hoping he would get another cute, untough dog.
Like a chihuahua.
A Pomeranian.
Right, you know?
I feel like a Pomeranian's, like, a step too far. Like, the beagle puppy works.
Yeah,
right,
yeah. I would have, like, one of those little dogs you keep in a purse, like Paris Hilton, maybe is a little bit too on the nose.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? So when he went with a pit bull, like, that's exactly what you would expect a guy like this to have, a pit bull or a Rottweiler
or
a
shepherd or something.
Yeah, so like get something.
I can see that.
You know, that's kind of.
I hear you. It
you
makes
know,
sense.
Makes sense.
Anyway. But to speak to what Joe was saying before we move on, I think you hit the nail on the head. What makes a sequel successful?
An action sequel.
Compared to just an action schlock, you know, just cashing in on the name and a bunch of action sequences without anything to tie them together is the story.
Yeah.
And John Wick 2 has a more intricate story than the first one. Now, I will say I loved the first one. I think it was fantastic. I've shown it to so many people.
Was it a breath of fresh air?
It was. I loved everything about it. breath of fresh air. But, you know, it was a fantastic film. Great action sequences. I mean, it was a really fun story. Absolutely loved the first movie. But this story it goes more in depth, and they added more to it. And
you get a little bit of world
more.
Building.
Yeah, and so instead of just cashing in and being like, wow, John Wick was really popular, let's make a bunch of badass action scenes.
Which I gotta tell you,
throw together.
That was my fear. Is like, John Wick came out of nowhere. Like, that movie, I mean, I think they started advertising in like September, and it was released in October, so like there wasn't any advertising for it. And then so the original plot apparently is like they wanted to use like a 60-year-old. They thought of like Paul Newman was gonna be John Wick.
No, it was gonna be like a Taken, like,
well,
old man
kind
action
of,
movie.
He was gonna retire. This was gonna happen, and that was gonna bring him out of retirement. I'm using that name as
18 years ago. Yeah,
I'm like, were
like
they gonna
that,
make this
like,
in the 80s?
No, but I mean like that kind of an older retired hitman.
And I'm so happy they didn't.
But they did though. Like Keanu Reeves was 50.
Yeah, he's no
when
kid.
He made that first one.
Right, but what I'm saying,
like, he's for what he's doing in this movie is ridiculous.
I agree, but he's not Bruce Willis. He's not Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's not Sylvester Stallone. They're in their 70s.
I think Bruce Willis was a name that was kicked around.
Bruce Willis is in his 70s.
I was just saying like Stallone.
Oh, okay.
You know, no. But he's older with the Red movies. You know, we're getting these aging action stars becoming a thing, and they keep trying to cash in on that. And I'm so glad they didn't. And I'm not saying that Keanu's not talented for his age, or he's not doing great stuff. He is. I mean, he's a vampire, first of all.
I think that dude stopped aging at 30.
Yeah, he's a vampire, so he actually doesn't count, but he's been alive for hundreds of years. But
him and Nick Cage.
But I'm glad they didn't go the route of because I think it would have gotten lost with all those old action star movies, Expendables, that stuff.
Yeah, probably.
It's, you know,
well,
what I mean?
I don't know. Like, if they got an older actor, they couldn't have done half the things
that's why it would have been different. And
he took it like if you look online, those videos were huge of him going through training and doing tactical reloads. And
when he went through the 3-gun range, he was phenomenal. Like, you can tell he actually put a lot of time and practice into, like, you know, honing his craft.
And it's on the screen.
Oh,
I mean,
absolutely.
Those videos are great, and we'll get into it. But with those action scenes, it isn't. First of all, it's not quick cuts.
Nope.
The action scenes are like one take, extended shots. I mean, they're really good, and it's Keanu. You see him. It's him right there. It's not like from the back, you know.
Right.
I mean, he is doing these action sequences, whether it's the gun stuff, whether it's the hand to hand, and we know that he loves martial arts. Like, not only was he trained and versed in martial arts for The Matrix, but he did The Man of Tai Chi.
Oh boy!
So he obviously
he did do that movie. That's true.
But he obviously has a love of martial arts and the hand to hand stuff. So it's all there on screen, and I think that Keanu was such a great choice. I just don't think it would have worked as well with an aging.
No, probably not. So this one picks up, he is on the lookout for his car, which I don't remember what happened to. Like, I remember his car got stolen, John Leguizamo had it.
Stole it.
But didn't John Leguizamo have it? Didn't he get it back from him?
I don't remember.
Well, it moved on to the family of the kid that stole it.
So either way, it's this the uncle of the...
Of Reek from Game of Thrones.
Yeah, the brother of the main bad guy from part one is now in possession of the car. And John Wick is coming to get his car.
Oh my gosh! And what a great scene when who's the guy? It's
you know.
Yeah, I know
who's
one of those character actor that's always
a
Russian.
But he's always a Russian bad guy.
He was an astronaut in Armageddon.
That's was he?
Right.
He was part of the crew.
Yeah.
Peter Stormare.
He was the guy. He was the guy on the space station.
What was his name?
Peter Stormare.
Yeah, it could be.
He's
sure.
He's so good. And,
he's always a bad guy.
And
except for then apparently that one.
And so he's sitting up in his office where there's all these gold and guns and things are coming in and out of this warehouse. And he's sitting up in his office and his assistant comes in and he just has this really like quiet, understated conversation about John Wick and
so
the fact they have
kind
his car.
It is kind of a retread of part one where they're just like, look, you don't want this guy coming after you. He's the baddest of the bad. And he's coming. Like, he's coming here. And then, you know.
But I kind of like it. Like, it to me, it didn't seem forced. And
it seemed pretty forced to me. Because I was like,
to me as well.
How does this guy work for this organization? And he's never heard of this dude.
Yeah.
I know what you're saying, but
isn't
like.
Isn't that kind of the gig?
Especially now. Like, John Wick has taken out that entire organization
himself. Hear me out here, though. So, I didn't feel like it's like there was a retreading of his whole origin story. And a lot of people, you have to remember, didn't see this. The first one
in theaters. What did that make, out of curiosity?
It opened
What was the final total?
Well, it opened only $15 million. So, I mean, this one obviously is already a step ahead.
Yeah. I'm curious what it did in strictly just DVD and digital sales.
But my point is a lot of people have heard about John Wick. And sure, it did great on video and there's a lot of word of mouth. But a lot of people hadn't seen John Wick that are going to see John Wick 2. So I think you needed it because this movie was not a $500 million blockbuster. So he gave you a little insight.
The first one only made $43 million.
Yeah. Wow.
So how many people went to see this movie that didn't see the first probably a lot,
but
so,
I mean,
I also like the fact that they do kind of retread it, but they also pay homage to the people who don't want to hear it, because at one point one of the guys says telling him about he killed three guys with a pencil and bar, and he's like, I know he killed three guys with a pencil
like,
and a bar.
I did like that line where they don't hammer you over the head with it. So he gets there, he does the John Wick thing and he takes everybody out, and then he takes his car, and it's a pretty good scene. Like, you know, there's another wrestler in this movie.
Who was it?
The big guy that he shoots in the knees. His name is Vladimir. Obviously, I don't know if that's his real name. His wrestler name was Vladimir Kozlov. But I thought it was interesting.
Was he Russian?
He is Russian. Like, actually, he's like,
Well, not anymore. Did you see the movie?
He's alive. He just shot him in the knees.
No, doesn't he shoot him in the...
No.
Oh, he left him?
Yes.
Well, that's a different one for John Wick.
He left the other wrestler alive, too.
Well,
he
left
Kevin Nash alive.
Taiwan, you take the night off.
Okay.
Thank you.
Not Kevin Nash's voice.
Yeah.
So he gets his car and like he gets it. He barely gets it. Like he's crashing into all kinds of things, you know.
Yeah. It's like
roller derby.
I was going to say it's like Smokey and the Bandit.
It is like Smokey and the Bandit. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about this car chase and these action scenes. Like, there were some really good shots that, again, weren't quick cuts.
No.
Like,
yeah.
The car scenes and the car chases were really good. And at first he has like, what does he have? Like a Challenger or something before the Mustang.
Oh, yeah.
And he tracks down the motorcycle guy. It was like a Challenger.
That was an awesome scene.
It was awesome. awesome. He's going around blocks, and there's overhead shots, and there's shots, you know, whipping around corners, and, you know, and again, it's not that choppy crap. Like, I'm going to use Getaway as an example because it's so atrocious. It was one of our early episodes, and those car scenes were like, you know, zoom in on the bumper and right, the back, right. And then it was just so chopped up. And so right off the bat, first scene of this movie, we see actual car sequences.
And there's obviously some CG involved, but sure, I feel like it's seamless.
But there's practical stunts.
Like
for sure.
Absolutely. Like, there's scenes where, like, Keanu falls out of the car, and obviously
the one where he doesn't have a door on the car, and they hit the car, and he just flies out of the car.
Out of the car.
Which, like, you don't. Oh. Yeah, you like don't ever see that kind of thing.
And
which
there
is
are
really
there
cool.
were scenes in the first one. Like, I think there's a scene where he goes over. Oh, it's the old Western gimmick where, like, he goes over the railing and, like, lands on the ground.
A piano?
Well, I wish, but no. But he lands on the ground, and you can feel it. Like, yeah. It's, and that's a testament to Keanu's
acting. Oh, you were in one
acting.
Of those 4D theaters.
Yeah, they literally picked me up and threw me on the ground. I was like, this is an awful experience. I don't want to do this ever again.
That's why those theaters don't exist anymore.
But, yeah, like, this whole sequence is... It's like you just pick up right where you left off in the first one.
And then once he gets the Mustang.
Yeah, and then it destroys the Mustang.
And then he's driving around the warehouse. I mean, it is cool.
Yeah, like, it's very cool.
What a great opening scene. And it really is a testament. Again, they tell you a little bit about it for people that haven't seen the first one and who he is. And they show you his skills and with the car stuff and the guns and shooting that it gets into eventually.
Right. So he gets home and he calls, you know, he takes the pit bull and they're sitting at the house and he calls John Leguizamo comes back as the same guy who's just like
mechanic.
What did you do to this thing? He's like, can you fix it? And he was like, yeah, I'll see you in like 2020.
Yeah.
Like when it's fixed. And he was like, all right, see ya. So he takes the car and he starts burying his stuff again. Like the reason he came out of retirement is over. He's got his car back. He avenged the death of his dog, which, by the way, is a real story. The main character from Lone Survivor, the Mark Wahlberg character.
The one that survives.
Marcus Luttrell.
He had a puppy. He heard a commotion out in his backyard. He goes downstairs into his backyard and he sees a bunch of dudes laughing over his dead puppy. They see him. They take off. He chases them through like three counties. And goes after them. Like, it doesn't turn into John Wick. Like, the police catch these guys, and it's, you know.
And they run into the Russian mob. Yeah.
But that, like, that is...
He checks into the hotel with the gold coins.
Yeah. But that is a real story. Like, that is legit. That's kind of where this idea of, like, what could we use to turn this guy into this guy again?
Well, let me ask you, did he double tap them? They found
no. He couldn't have time.
You're thinking of the 50 Shades podcast.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, so he goes home and he's getting, you know, he buries everything again. And then
if you're a fan of masonry, I will tell you this is your 50 Shades. There are some beautiful slow motion masonry shots in this movie.
He's putting, you know, he puts everything back in the ground. He covers it back up.
Smooths it out. Just,
he's good to go.
Kevin loves his masonry.
He does.
As much as not as much as he loves masons.
Yeah.
But
Freemasons.
He bricked.
Stonecutters.
Stonecutters.
I'm a stonecutter.
Now he's paid a visit from nondescript Italian guy where he just kind of says, look, I
hear
you.
It's me.
Yeah. Hey, you work for me. No.
I got to your marker.
Why are you talking like that?
I'll make you some pizza.
You like a spaghetti.
Does this make up for the Asian thing, Steve?
A little bit.
I thought it was really, the Italians, too.
We're good now.
Those dirty bastards have it coming.
Yeah, I'm thought Sicilian, so it's fine.
When he asked him, when John Wick asked him if he wanted a cup of coffee, and he asked him, no, make me a pizza. I thought that was just really odd.
No, you got to make it the red sauce, you idiot.
Yeah.
So we find out this is where, like, a sequel to an action movie, this is what it's supposed to do, where it's supposed to give you, kind of like, Riggs' wife, where it's just like, oh.
They expand the universe.
They do. They make it, yeah. So he kind of says, like, the reason that John is out is because of, we don't know why, we don't know what happened, but he's sworn a blood oath to this guy, and that's how he got out of the business. So the guy's like, I hear you're back. And he's like, no. Like, I was not back. He's like, you're back.
Yeah.
And you owe me.
You
this.
Killed a bunch of people. That means you're back.
Right. And so you're
and
back.
And he's like, don't make me do this. Telling
Keanu
him,
Reeves
like,
is like, don't do this. Yeah. Like, you don't want to
You don't
do
want
to,
yeah.
You don't want to open
and,
that.
And
I just put everything back. in the concrete.
Oh, damn it. Did you not just see that masonry
had
collage?
Had I known you were going to be here, I would not have used the quick set concrete. Yeah.
He just finished it. Literally, he is sitting with his dog
up
next to the thing on the floor that he just poured.
Yeah.
And it's like, knock, knock, knock. Like, are you kidding
he's
me?
Like, son of a
bitch. Could you have came an hour earlier?
Right.
Like, so let's get to
it. Yeah. So he says, he's like, look, you owe me. And you know the rules. You got to follow the rules. So does he go to see Ian McShane first before
he tells him what he wants him to do?
Oh, that's right.
He probably says, tackle that
I guess
part.
He wants to. So in this cabal, I guess, is what of like, you know, evil bad guys, his father has died and his sister is going to take his spot. So he's butthurt that he doesn't get the spot, but his sister gets the spot. So he's like, you're going to kill her.
And like the head like, table of the bad guy. Organization.
He wants to kill her. So then he will get her spot. So John is just like, I don't.
Well, he says no.
He says no. That's right. He says no.
He says no, and then he burns his house down.
Blows it up. Well, and I thought he was going to kill them. I was like, don't kill the dog again.
Not another dog.
I turned to Katie. Yeah. I said, don't. They cannot kill this dog. Yeah. There's no way.
It's a pit bull. He's too much of a badass. Yeah.
This dog shouldn't even get worms.
No. No.
We've done this.
Yeah, right. Yeah. He should be perfectly healthy. Yeah. And they do kind of when he gets to the, he's just like, okay, I'll see you later.
Right.
Does he have a name? No.
No. That what kind of dog doesn't name his dog?
I just feel like he would just,
he didn't want to get too attached, I guess.
John Pagok?
John
Pagok?
That's what it is. That's
name the, your dog, asshole.
That's the next podcast.
That's the vivid version. So he goes to see Ian McShane, who I love. Like,
oh,
that dude's
so good.
So good.
Yeah.
And he kind of says, he's like, do I have to do this? And he's like, you got to follow the rules. Like, if you did that. And John Wick, and like, to his credit, like, he's an honorable dude where he's just like, fine. So he does, and he gets his gear.
I love this scene, and again, this was cool too because they didn't waste a lot of time, and there were like four or five different.
It's a good montage.
Four or five different scenes.
It's a quick montage,
but it isn't like as throwaway as a montage. It's four or five scenes, but they're cut back and forth between each other. So instead of doing like a montage with music and you just see stuff happening, like man, they really go into it. And so he goes to
the tailor first,
yeah,
and
so
he gets like two suits,
yeah, one for day,
and I also
one for
like.
Night.
I like that it's almost a video game, right? So he's got armor, body armor. Like he buys body armor, and I like the idea that the body armor is sewn into the suit. So he's never too bulky. He's never wearing a vest, but like every piece of his clothing, with the exception of like the dress shirt itself, is covered in this Kevlar that's unbreakable. Well, I thought it was ridiculous, but awesome.
The thing is that it sounds outlandish, but that is actually not too far out of the realm of realism. Like they make clothes that they coat it with some sort of technology that it's like during when you're wearing it normal, it's fine. But if it feels like some sort of like kinetic impact, it automatically stiffens up and it prevents like knives and like small arms fire from getting through.
Right there.
It is. Well,
I noticed too, like for the rest of the movie, whenever he's against somebody in a suit, there's like two shots. He like shoots him in the chest to like make him like kind of like, whoa.
Right.
And then he shoots him in the head.
Right. Like the old double tap.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he goes to the tailor and he goes, do you need a nighttime or daytime? He's like, both.
Yeah. He goes to the sommelier. I loved this
Peter,
scene.
Peter, so God dang, I can never say his name.
Scolari?
Yeah, but no, it's not Scolari. It's
no,
like
Peter Scolari.
It's Senna.
Just throwing out random syllables here.
That's from Bosom Buddies.
Yeah. Oh. That would have been pretty good, though. Yeah. But he was in Shaun of the Dead. He was in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Was he the roommate in Shaun of the Dead? Or
he's the guy. He's Shaun's roommate.
The responsible one.
But he's
just, so good, though. He's like,
but he's the sommelier.
Sommelier.
It's a wine guy. It's what that word
he's
all, means.
Yeah, he's in. And then he goes and sees him. And it's just a room full of weapons. And he does like a wine tasting, but it's a gun tasting. Love it. It's such a well-written
scene. The wording that they use is very funny. Yeah.
Dessert?
Yeah.
For dessert?
Like, yes, please. So he gets all his gear and he goes and he's just like, you can't just walk in the front of that place. And he was just like, hold my beer. You know, like, watch.
But he sees one of the guys he sees has the blueprint. So in the montage, he gets all the stuff. All the underground
blueprint.
This
is where we see Common, who I don't really think he's very good of a very good actor, but I liked him here. Like, so Common is like the...
So you think he's kind of a common actor?
I would say uncommon, because he's not very good.
I would think Common's pretty average.
Ludicrous?
I was like, you mean the word or the rapper?
No, the word, like...
I thought he was really good in this movie.
He was good in this. Like, I liked him in this a lot. Yeah.
He was better than he was in Suicide Squad.
Oh, he was the tattoo man, wasn't he?
He got shot in the face after like 10 seconds.
He was a Batman villain. Like, he was the tattoo man.
Yeah. But he looks at Harley Quinn, and then Jared Leto's Joker tells him he can have Harley Quinn, and then he shoots him in the face for looking at Harley Quinn.
No, he shoots him in the face for turning him down, where he's just like, I don't want to be
whatever.
This
was much better. I was a happy.
Common's like, get me out of this movie right now. He's like, okay, good. So he goes in and he sees, and one of the things I like about the John Wick flicks is they always kind of allude that he has had a relationship with almost all of these women, right? So in the first one, we see Adrian Padalecki, where it's kind of alluded to that they may have fooled around once or twice. Then we get to this gal, and it's definitely alluded to, because like she strips right in front of him, that she also may have had a relationship. Yeah. Then they get to Ruby Rose, who, if they could just get rid of that gal altogether, that'd
that's
be
the
great.
I think that's the biggest.
Pretty sure he hasn't had a relationship with her.
Yeah.
With Ruby Rose?
Just based on the haircut.
I think that's... I don't see, but she was on... What was the show she was on?
Orange is the New Black.
Isn't she bi?
I don't know. It's all women. It's a women's prison.
Yeah,
how
but
would I know?
Right. Anyway,
I don't think she's supposed to be.
Okay.
I think that's the common complaint.
She was the weakest point of this movie.
I like what they were trying to do. Like, there was something about her style. Like, I liked it. It just wasn't executed.
I didn't like it at all.
I thought it was kind of cool, but it didn't work. There was something off about it.
Well, one, why does John Wick all of a sudden know sign language?
Like, he knows all sorts of languages.
I mean, I'm okay
traveling
with
around.
He knows
Yeah, I'm okay with the sign language thing.
I get the foreign languages, but there are a lot of deaf high assassins. Like, I just seem like it's gonna be really easy to sneak up on
them. Yeah, that's true.
Like, I just
unless you're Daredevil,
I mean,
you know,
yeah,
he's
like,
blind, but that doesn't, you know,
yeah. But I mean, how are you gonna, you know, she would be dead in like 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, all you gotta do is come up from behind.
Well, that's why she never can kill John Wick. She's pretty terrible at her job.
Yeah. But anybody should be able to kill
her. She shouldn't be that. Like, the idea that they made her deaf to make her more of a badass didn't work.
No, it didn't.
For me.
Not
I like
all.
That they were trying to do something different, though. I mean, she was a villain that we have never seen.
Because this movie is as good as it is, you don't need to do something different. Like, you don't need to put that in there. You know what I mean?
Like, I like what they were trying to do, it could be odd job
for all I care.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
I'm just sick of seeing the same maniacal villain in every Bond, non-Bond type movie. Like, it was something totally different that we've never seen.
Do you mean the bad guy in this or her?
Oh, no, like, I like what they were trying to do with a different bad guy, because we've seen every type of bad guy in an action movie. And so I give them credit, and I give a lot of people credit for trying things new. And you're not always going to bat 1,000.
No,
you
I
know,
agree.
And it's not always going to work. But I at least give them credit for trying a different kind of villain, because otherwise we're just stuck with the same Russian
stuff.
Bad guy number two. You know what I mean? It's all the same.
But I think in this one, you can do Russian bad guy number two because they're all...
It doesn't matter because
everybody's
John Wick.
Everybody's fodder. Like, they're all going to die.
Yeah. So they're in Rome?
Yeah, they're in Rome. And he's doing as they do.
Yeah.
And I actually like the scene where she's just like, look, I know why you're here.
Yeah.
And she beats him to the punch.
I like it.
Like, where she kills herself.
I'll die on my own terms.
Yeah, she slits her wrists. And
she does it the right way. She doesn't do it.
She did do it the right way.
She doesn't
I
do
that
it
too.
The. She doesn't do it.
Go
the,
to the hospital. Go to the morgue.
She doesn't do it the high school girl trying to get attention way.
She doesn't.
Going across.
Don't
she
cross goes, the street. Walk down the highway.
Right. She goes all the way down.
Oh, I've never heard that.
She bleeds very slowly.
That was
well. I mean.
Well, the pool looked pretty bloody after a while.
But she just been talks for like another 10 minutes.
She does,
And she's bleeding out.
Where John, like, he's like, I don't want to do this. Like, this isn't what I want to do. And he kind of holds her hand. And then he stands up and just like, yeah, never mind.
Yeah.
And just shoots her.
Well, he took her out of her misery if she wasn't in misery.
I think she was dead.
Well, he shot her in the head for a reason.
I think that's to say that, like, look, I did my, I was supposed to do.
That's how I took it, is that he was, because I was like, well, if she's dead, why do you need to shoot her? But I think it was so he could say, but I did what you wanted me to do as proof. Because if not, the guy might be like, well, you didn't do what I, you know, even though the end result is what I wanted, I don't know that you did it.
Yeah. And then, so he takes it, like, he's just like, you know, he goes. And then he realizes he's been had.
Well, first of all, he bumps into Common, and I really
like. Oh, I did like this scene too. He's like,
yep. All right. And
he's
then,
like, are you leaving?
And oh, yeah, like, how's your night going?
He's like, it's over.
No, he's like, it's going well. Like, you know, he said, how'd your night go?
And it was good. Like, I like that. Like,
it was
like,
really?
People's like, it was just the way they filmed that is you've got initially it's they bump into like each other like at a club, and then as they start to square off, like the people start to. Like, give them space, and like it just becomes about them. And I was like,
there's going to be a dance off,
exactly. Yeah. Dance off, bro.
Yeah.
So I liked the way that was filmed, and I will say
I like the writing. I think it was really clever.
But the two guys who did the first one,
yeah,
did not do this one.
The director did.
Oh, he did.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's one director instead of two.
So the other director is going to Deadpool 2.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, well, let's do that.
Yeah, split them up. I mean, yeah. If we can get two good movies instead
of
one.
These are Matrix guys.
Yeah.
These were the stunt coordinators from the Matrix and all the other stuff.
Which, it's like his stunt double and his stunt coordinator on the Matrix. Yeah.
Which is interesting. It's just like, oh, you can make good movies too.
Yeah.
You know?
It's awesome.
So there's a big, you know, big fight sequence and they,
this was awesome. This so was they go good... underground to the tunnels and John Wick has strategically put all the weapons that the sommelier gave him into different spots.
Right.
And this is, again, this extended scene without quick cuts. I mean, he is
I'm not going to say it's on like Birdman level, but it feels like it is one continuous shot through these tunnels and then never cut.
I mean, it doesn't feel like one long, you know,
I
shot.
Thought it did.
It felt like a lot of really long, cut, but each scene, it wasn't like...
wasn't jump cuts.
Yeah, it wasn't, pull up the gun, then another angle of getting shot and another angle getting punched. It was like John Wick probably killed 25 people without a cut. Seriously.
Yeah.
And the gun choreography, not only the choreography, but Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
Like, damn.
That's, I mean, it's impressive. And as Keanu Reeves and I have a history where he sucks most of the time.
Oh. Tell us more about your history with Keanu Reeves where he sucks.
That's the Brian Spath thing. It was like, I could hear more.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I feel like, with the exception, I know, Tom, you didn't like The Matrix. I love The Matrix.
Yeah, I'm like one of the few guys that didn't like
The Matrix. I don't like two or three.
I get that I'm the odd man out, but I was just
like... First Matrix, good.
Yeah. But then, like, he was doing, like, Hardball, what was the one with the time traveling mailbox?
The time traveling mailbox.
Oh, of course, yes. But
the
Lake House. He started doing these, you know, other movies, and he just wasn't, I don't think he was very good. This was a nice, like, I was like, oh, you don't suck. Like, these are really fun movies.
I'm thinking he's back.
Don't do that.
Please. Yeah, let's.
So, yeah, so he gets out of this, he destroys all of these dudes. And he gets out and he realizes, he gets a call from the brother and he was like, look.
Well, Ruby Rose shows up. That's when he realizes it.
Yeah, right.
He starts killing all those guys. They're all his men. So he does the job and it's not common. And his people that are also chasing him, it's Ruby Rose and he's tying up loose ends.
He kind of says, he's like, what kind of brother would I be if I didn't go after the guy that killed my sister?
Like, you son of a bitch.
You can hear John just going like, ugh, and hangs up.
I feel like he knew that that's what...
Oh, yeah.
And that's why at the beginning he's like, let's not do this.
Right.
Like, we know what's going to happen.
We both know what's going to happen.
Yeah, like he was already four plays ahead on the chessboard, you know?
So then John's on the run, and he gets on the train, and there's Common, like, this was a brilliant scene where him and Common are in, like, I think they're on, like, they're going towards the subway, and, like, Common is up on, like, a platform walking, and John is down on the bottom, and they're, like, doing pop shots at each other with silencers.
It was fun.
Oh, my God, that was cool.
It was
such a cool scene where they're not hitting each other, but, like, they're doing it super chill, and nobody knows that they're shooting at each other.
Fun. It was outlandish. It was ridiculous that no one would notice them, but it was fun for an action movie. That's the thing, because when you go to this movie, you're not expecting total realism. You're looking for badass action, and that was something unique that you never really see.
And I will say that one of the things that you need to do in these action movies is you need to ramp up the first one. And I think this one ramps up the first one for sure.
Which is surprising.
Yeah.
Who would have thought that you would outdo John Wick when that was such a good action movie?
So they get on this train and they're having this giant, you know, the train, every train stop, the people are clearing out, more and more people are clearing out until finally it's just down to like them and like five people. And they had this wicked knife battle.
A lot of hand-to-hand combat. When him and Common get together, it's hand-to-hand.
Yeah. And then he ends up stabbing, like John Wick stabs Common like in the trachea.
Aorta.
And he was like, look, you could pull that out and probably kill me, but you're going to die in the process, or you can just stay here and you'll be all right. Don't pull that knife out. Professional courtesy. And I like that line where... like Common just kind of smiles at him and he was like, well done.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah. The doors close and it stays on Common and the doors close and you see through the windows.
A very small
smirks at the end.
Yeah. Do they do the trademark be seeing you?
No, I don't think so.
I can't remember if they did it in that scene.
No, he only
did that with her.
Yeah. Okay.
He gives them because earlier in the movie they go to another,
cause she won't be hearing them.
That's true. She won't. What are the Continental?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there's another Continental in Rome, and they crash through a window, and the one guy, was that Richard, who's the guy? Like, he was Alan Quartermain.
The guy behind the counter?
No, the guy who ran that in Rome, the guy who ran that Continental.
Oh, yeah.
Is it Richard?
Richard, crap. Chamberlain.
Chamberlain, yeah. And he was just like, gentlemen! And they all just like... yeah. And they have to stop and they go have a drink. And he was just like, we're going to do this. He's like, yeah, we're going to do this. And then the professional courtesy is like, I'll kill you quick.
Yeah.
And so that back on the train, he's like, professional courtesy, and he bolts. So he gets back to the States. Is that right? Or they stay in Rome?
Well, he comes back to the States after they both come back home because she reports to the bad guy and says, I messed up.
Yeah, and I was like, well, she's going to die. Like, she's like Bob from Batman.
Like, well, that's what I'm saying. Like, she messes up. I'm surprised you didn't take her out.
Yeah,
but,
right.
But yeah, so, and then John Wick comes
home. They put the $7 million bounty on his head.
He calls this kind of central hit,
which I liked that, too. That was so ridiculous. Yeah.
I loved the fact that it was all on paper. And well, someone asked,
like, it was all old-timey switchboards.
Old-time switchboards and, like, old-time, like, Commodore 64s and stuff that can't be hacked.
That's what I'm saying. Someone asked me why they did that, and I'm like, well, because you can't trace it. You can't hack it. And they put it on paper, and it was brilliant.
And then all the hitmen had the same burner phone,
right?
Yeah. All, none of them had smartphones.
No.
They all had the same.
I think it was pretty smart. Switchblade phone from the Matrix. Remember the one that everyone thought was so cool because it shot up like a switchblade? Yeah. It just reminds me of that phone.
Yeah. So this is where John Wick kind of goes. He sees a bum, and he was just like, take me to him. And the guy's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And he's, you know, he drops him like three of those gold coins. He was like, pushes him down, covers him up, and he takes him to find.
Yeah, there's like this, there's this other group of hitmen that are like an entire network of homeless
of hobos.
People. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just hobo supermen all over the place.
I mean, hobos are train oriented.
Is that right?
I believe so. Wouldn't you say, Steve?
Yes.
Yeah. Hobos are about trains.
Okay. I didn't know that.
That's how I always took it.
Oh, I just thought like homeless people.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Learn old timey reference. Not really.
No, that's pretty.
That's pretty timely.
That's pretty old timey.
Yeah. I was like, what is happening?
It says a hobo is from Wikipedia, which we know is never wrong.
Can't be wrong.
It says a hobo is a migratory worker or homeless vagabond, especially one who is impoverished. The term originated in the western, probably northwestern United States around 1890. Unlike a tramp who works only when forced to, and a bum who does not work at all, a hobo is a traveling worker. But I guess given the time period, they had to travel pretty much by train.
Yeah. All right. Interesting. This has been The More You Know.
Wow.
That's what that is.
You're welcome.
So he ends up going through this big, you know, this organization. And then we get to Larry Fishburne. God dang. I love Larry Fishburne. Like, that dude is always good.
Cowboy Curtis?
Yeah. Perry, the shining star of Batman versus Superman is Perry White. I never thought I'd say that, but that's what that was.
If you say so.
He was. You tell me he wasn't bad in those movies.
No.
He's the best part of those movies. I'm grading on a curve, but all right.
Okay.
So he kind of says, he's like, look, I need your help. And they don't really say what happened between the two of them.
Well, I take it that
something happened.
I took it he did the same thing to him that he did to Common, which was
that's right. He
wounded him in a way that he could kill John Wick or save himself.
He did the same thing. He cut his neck, he made him hold it.
He was like, you can kill me now or
So he was like, okay, so I owe you and I will help you.
Right.
Great return of
Morpheus and Neo.
Neo. Yeah,
is Morpheus. That the I guess it's the first time they've been on
I don't remember
together.
Seeing them together since then.
Okay. So
is he sending pigeons with SIM cards or something? Like whatever
I don't know what was going on. They don't explain what was going on.
It's another one of those old timey like carrier pigeons to transport things.
I'm trying to think. What happens after he sees Larry Fishburne?
I think he goes try to kill people.
He gives him a gun.
Yeah, he gives him a gun.
November 1911
with seven bullets. He's like $7 million, seven bullets, go. And he's just like, okay. And so he goes and he starts
walking the streets. And just everybody's trying to kill him.
I mean, this is great. I love that you see are they hobos? What are we calling them?
Bums? Transients.
Tramps, vagabonds.
Ooh.
Gypsies, tramps, and thieves.
they've all got burner phones. You've got workers at restaurants. You have violinists. It just shows you that this organization.
For an organization that's so secret, what is the financial makeup?
How big is this organization?
What's the business model?
It's a great question.
Because apparently there are a lot of hitmen, but there's no way to really contact them unless you're already a hitman.
Right.
Like, I don't understand.
You just get text and you're just like,
understand how this can support economically such a vast number of
people. I guess there's a lot
of
people that need to be killed.
But if I had somebody I need killed, hypothetically speaking...
How would I contact these people?
That's a good question. That's a good
See what I'm saying? Like, it seems like the only people that can contact the hitmen are other hitmen.
Or the
it's like if only cab drivers could contact cab drivers.
I guess that's true. I guess a normal layperson couldn't go into the Continental.
1-888-A-HITMAN.
Yeah, right. And be like, hey, I need somebody. I guess that's true.
Anyway.
So, yeah, so he takes out...
This is kind of a montage.
Yeah, he takes out the street violinist. He takes out E-Honda.
Oh, which, man.
Like, that was the scene in the theater I was in that got the biggest reaction.
Yeah.
Is when he shoots...
That dude.
And he was just like... The whole theater was like, oh!
He shot him down through the head. Then he gets up and has to shoot him up through the head. Like, what?
No, he's walking away and he gets up and he shoots him again. Yeah.
And then the pencil.
This is where we have to mention the pencils.
There's two dudes that kind of jump him in a train station again.
He should have used a pen.
I know.
Just because
he's... story.
Just because he's getting older.
Right. You know? Yeah.
A click pen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's tough to beat like the greatest pencil kill of all time in The Dark Knight, but this is pretty close. Oh no, wait, maybe this is the scene where the crowd reacts, because like does he like push his head?
This is the scene that got the biggest reaction.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This was the grossest.
Yeah, he's
everyone's
like, whoa!
It was. I don't want to use the word cringe inducing because it wasn't in a bad way, but to not react to this scene, I mean, it's so slow and they don't cut away.
Right.
Pulls the head off of the pencil, and the pencil sitting there with brain matter hanging off it.
It was kind of gooey.
I mean, it wouldn't be a rated R action movie without something like that.
You had to do that.
Just like in real life.
Just like in real life.
What?
Well, Steve, your office job is very bizarre. Very bizarre.
We don't really know what Steve does.
Someone take that pencil sharpener away from Steve.
Steve says, I don't need it sharp.
He's changing to Bic pens. Yeah.
So he's going through, and he's taking out, and again, it's like a video game, right? Where he's just taking out everybody left and right. There's
nobody. The score counter they put up on the screen.
You like that? Yeah. Yeah. He got
points.
He got points depending on where he shot him. So finally he realizes, like, the Italian guy is like, I got nothing. Like, yeah, there's nobody left to stand in his way. So he goes to the Continental. And
has a nice meal.
He has a nice meal. Like, the bad guy realizes there's nobody left to stop him.
Yeah.
Like, it's just him. So he goes to the Continental with Ian McShane.
And we know that that's, like, sacred ground. That's sanctuary. Can't you can't fight. You can't kill.
No,
you
business.
Can't
right.
No business. No business at the Continental.
Well put. That's what I was looking for.
So he's sitting down. He's eating a meal. And John kind of confronts him. And he runs. He is winding him up. The bad guy is winding up John Wick. And finally, Ian McShane is like by the bar and he's just like, Jonathan, like, don't you do it.
Oh man.
And like, even the bad guy's like, yeah, Jonathan, don't do it. And as soon as, like, he doesn't get the sentence out and he's like, don't. And he
can't even finish his steak tartare.
Yeah. Poor guy. Dominic, bad guy, does not get to, I guess it's
bad guy.
That's the French version.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. So I mean, that means he's excommunicado,
which means he does not get to use the Continental. He does not get to use any of the services.
And he's supposed to die.
Well, like in the first one, they kill Adrian Padalecki like immediately. Ian McShane,
so he gives him an hour.
He gives him an hour to get out.
The movie wasn't named after her.
It was not.
So the different set of rules apply.
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah.
And women.
I mean, I'm not making that joke because this room just got added three women.
But so, I mean, the thing is, though, obviously, John's got a little bit of a relationship
with Ian McShane's
character. And he gets it. Like, Ian McShane gets it. He doesn't agree with it, and he knows he shouldn't have, but he's like, okay, I get it. Like, this guy burnt your house down. He sent everyone after you. Like, he knows why he did it.
Like Chris Rock and OJ.
Yeah.
Like,
what?
I'm not saying it's okay, but I understand. Don't you remember that?
Yes, yeah,
I'm not saying that it's okay, but I understand.
Yeah. Did you ever watch that show? Did you watch the People versus OJ Simpson?
I have not.
Oh, man. It's on Netflix. It's awesome.
Yeah,
it's
remember, fantastic. I'm 46. I lived through
That's
it.
That's true. I was there, too.
You were nine.
I have recordings on VHS, taping the Bronco.
I was 12. Yeah, I was in like 8th grade.
Okay. He's a big boy.
When the trial. I was 12.
You were 12 in 8th grade?
Yeah.
That sounds about right.
A few years.
No, you're 12 and 13 in 8th grade.
12 and 13 is like 7th grade.
No.
Yeah. Cuz I turned 12 when I was in 6th grade.
Yeah. Well, no, he's right, because my youngest boy is 12, and he's in the sixth grade.
Well, we obviously know I didn't skip any grades.
So no, that's for damn sure.
That can't be the case.
So now that's kind of the limit. John Wick is on the run.
So he's So the bounty on John Wick's head is still
active. 14.
Oh, yeah. He doubles it.
Because it goes into an escrow service. I like this. Yeah. He's got to put the money into escrow.
Right.
So all the other hit people know that they'll get their money.
Oh, I guess we should say that, like, the reason that this guy, the Dominic bad guy, is at the Continental is because he is closing the deal. Like, Ian McShane kind of says, like, look, you gave him the job. He did the job. Closed. He's like,
you got to remove the
marker.
He's
like, what if I don't? What if I don't remove the marker? He's like, look, he played by the rules. You play by the rules. Yeah. And then John Wick walks in, and then it's all...
And ceases to play by said rules.
Correct. So,
he's running.
Where the first one does not leave you open... Well... It's open for interpretation.
But it's relatively concluded.
He's not a cliffhanger, though.
No, not at all.
It finishes up, he gets a new dog, it could end there, or he could have more adventures. But this one, he's on the run.
He's on the run. So we're going to get a John Wick part three, chapter three. Yeah. I have to. And given the box office, I don't see why it wouldn't. And this is what I'm saying about box office, right? So I have a feeling this budget.
This movie making you tear up?
I mean, it's a really good movie.
It's beautiful.
Man. It's so good.
Or is it the Coke?
It's both.
Okay.
Yeah. Look at that Richard Pryor.
Because he's out.
Yeah.
So.
Right, yeah. I think Richard Pryor, he's like, I pulled a big old black booger out of my nose, and I said, I'll never do this again. The budget on this couldn't have been... It had to be reasonable.
I would think. Because the first one didn't make tons of money, but they clearly must have had some sort of magical Hollywood algorithm that said...
Figured it out.
Even though it only made $83 million worldwide, there's a demand for more.
Budget was $40 million on this.
But what I'm saying is, like, for a budget of $40 million, you make a movie that looks like this.
Looks great.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Why are you giving the, you know, Die Hard 6 gets a $125 million?
Because it's going to make four times what this made internationally.
Do you think it'll make...
Yep.
Oh, internet. Yeah.
I mean, also, because it's got the history to the franchise.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, so the movie ends with basically him running through the streets because he knows he has an hour and
to
then
get out of town.
And then everybody's basically just looking at their watches, tapping their fingers.
And I did, like, you
kill.
See all these different, like, the character, like, you see the transients.
Yeah.
You see all, and it's weird. Like, I think they play it up where it's just like people are looking at him running. But it could be both, where it's like everybody's a hitman.
You don't know,
everybody is potentially a hitman.
right. Yeah, because you can't tell.
And then like other people are like, why is that guy in a suit running down the street?
I did really like.
They're like, what did the NASDAQ do today? Should I be concerned?
Why isn't that dog on a leash?
Should I be concerned about my 401k?
Why isn't that dog on a leash?
There was a nice parallel to the first movie before we wrap it up with Ian McShane. And in the first movie, remember the guy dies for not following the rules, and he has the four like hitmen corner
him. Which, by the way, those four hitmen would be dead too. Like, they surrounded her in a circle and they fired into a circle.
Yeah, I don't really understand the physics
of that. That's not the way that works.
That was a little weird. But anyway, so Joe knows
a lot about circle jerks.
Oh,
and so he knows that you have to be very
careful.
That's
a fantastic band.
You have to be very careful to not get.
You don't want friendly fire.
You don't want to ricochet.
That's for sure. No friendly fire.
But in this parallel, in the second one, they kind of harkens back to that where Ian McShane meets with John Wick and he's in this big town square. There's people walking their babies. And just reading the newspaper and all this.
Walking
and all this,
their babies?
Why do you, who?
Like in a stroller. You know what I mean? Like people are just out doing
Put them on a leash?
Well, no.
Why isn't that baby on a leash?
I thought they know there's a leash backpack. Law in this park.
And so he kind of snaps and they all freeze. They're
I didn't really get hitmen. Yeah, that was weird.
I liked it. It was like basically, well, okay, John Wick is a skilled guy. He can kill a lot of people. Ian McShane could have made it so that
he'd be dead, right?
Yeah, for sure. So that he one-upped it, he 20-upped it.
And
you
again,
know?
There are a lot of hitmen. They're all over the place.
Hit people.
Yeah. There are a lot of people men. What am I doing?
No, that's
based on the numbers in the movie, statistically speaking, one of us is probably a hitman.
Yeah.
Well, damn it, Steve. Wow.
Or person.
Yeah. Let's get it right.
So.
That's where we wrap it up. I think this movie, like I said,
it's a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun.
Loved it.
It's not going to win any Oscars, but it's exactly what a sequel to an action movie should be.
Yeah.
I can't believe that. I think it is maybe better than the first one, which is
and I will say to... it's one of the few sequels that has or movies that has a cliffhanger where I legitimately was how's he gonna get out of this?
But that's John Wick.
Wouldn't it be great if like John Wick chapter 3 was like 4 minutes long?
Which is him getting shot.
Just like him running, and it's like, okay, it's been 1 hour. Bam.
Well, he credits. He didn't. Yeah. He didn't expect someone to be walking their baby. The baby had a gun.
The baby.
But just think about it. Think how much money it would make, because the budget would be like $17.
Yeah, right. It's just Keanu Reeves in Central Park. Well, they're gonna gig you for filming in Central Park.
Okay,
that's how they get.
Isn't there like a clone of it in Ontario or something?
Oh, I'm sure there
they
is.
Used the Jackie Chan movies.
Yeah, all the DC stuff is filmed.
Yeah,
in
Rumble
Canada.
In the Bronx was shot in Vancouver, I think.
Was it really?
I'm almost positive.
That's funny.
Or somewhere in Canada.
Okay.
So anyway,
there you go.
Well, thank you. So that's it for this episode. I guess we will go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
I'm Steve Kelly. You can find me on Twitter at the GodCavs.
This is Joe. You can also follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, B-U-T-T-S 21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Don't forget, if you would like to continue the conversation online, we will be there waiting for you at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers, where you can join the League of Show Sharers. You can also go to iTunes, rate, review, subscribe. It helps us tremendously. It's why we say it every effing week. Did you like how I said effing so you didn't have to bleep out a
pagod? Yeah.
Okay.
Damn it.
And so that's it for this episode. Coming up on our next episode, the ladies will join us as we discuss 50 Shades Darker. Joe will not be here with his lady because the irony of missing an episode that won't be bleeped.
Yeah.
Well, oh, poor Joe.
His wife didn't sign the permission slip.
No.
No.
And
no,
Steve won't be here because he is ladyless.
God. Whoa.
Zang. Oh. Getting that dig in.
Wow. Glad you included the guys.
Got made fun of being Asian. Got made fun of being
Asian. He did that himself.
Sure you did.
Well, until
himself.
Kevin really upped the ante.
Kevin jumped the shark on that one.
He jumped the shark.
As per Kevin's.
He jumped the sushi.
Leave it to me.
He jumped the eel.
Yeah. So so that will be on our next episode, an unbleeped masterpiece of a filthy movie.
God damn
it. It was a filthy, I don't know.
Sure, yeah.
Sure, we'll call it that. So
only one way to find out. Yeah. We know you're not paying for it.
Yes.
So
no, well, nobody ever pays for
these. No one pays for it.
No, to see the movie.
Oh,
there's only one way to find out, and it's to listen to the next episode.
45, somebody paid for it. So,
not our audience, though.
We say, I don't know.
They're going to listen to the podcast.
I don't know. So anyway, that's it for this episode. And until next time, Sullivan dies in his son's arms.
Only know what I know. The passing years will show. You've kept my love so young, so new. And time after time, you'll hear me say that I'm so lucky.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
To be loved.